Are we missing lights?
Yeah.
Well, thank you everyone for being here tonight at our NAMI speaker meeting. And thank you for the people who brought the delicious spread.
Yes.
Looks amazing. And the way that this is going to work tonight is where you have a few announcements to make, and then we have a fabulous panel that's going to come and talk about the programs that they have for community engagement and talk about, tell stories about that experience, those experiences. And then at the end, if we have time and if you guys are interested in doing this, we can just do a little brainstorming about what types of things you'd like to see in this county as far as community engagement and what's working, what's not working, just to kind of get a pulse of our community. Because we had some feedback that usually it's just all one way, and we'd like to be able to hear what your ideas are too. Also moving forward, what other topics you'd like to hear about at the speaker's meetings. So that is our plan for the evening. So the announcements that I have, and then maybe Carol, you can chime in too, is we have a couple conventions coming up over the summer. The first one is the National Convention in Denver, July 6th through 9th. And then there's one that's pretty close to us in California, it's in Burlingame. And that's August 26th and 27th. And they're pretty fun. You know, they have a lot of speakers, the latest and greatest information on a variety of topics. And usually they have some tracks. So if you're interested in, say, like, youth or young adults, they might have a track for that, or they might have a track about CIT training or law enforcement education, or just a whole bunch of different things. They have a peer track, and has anybody been to those conventions before? Yeah,
I was in the one in San Francisco last summer. It's great.
Yeah, I really like them too.
The speaker they had, I went to the one for psychosis, and the speakers are phenomenal.
Yeah.
It was amazing, and they were, you know, they had some, you know, they had recovered, and they were awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're very inspirational on many different levels, so I encourage you all to attend if you can. I also want to make an announcement that we're having a peer-to-peer class that's starting.
Hi, you.
It's starting July 21st, and so you're going to be hearing about that, and if you're interested. Did I say July? I'm sorry. I wrote July. That's why I said it. It's June 21st.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we're also doing an Ending the Silence training. We have a speakers bureau, and we have five different presentations that we give. Well, four for sure, and one that we're thinking about doing. But the one that we really want to, you know, grow is our Ending the Silence. We go out to the schools, and it's very successful, and people are asking us to come a lot, and also go to the middle school, and we just don't have enough speakers in order to fulfill all of the demand. So we're going to be holding a series of trainings over the summer to get ready for the school year. So spread the word. We have a flyer here that tells you about the training process and what it is, so I can pass that around if you're interested. You can take a flyer and sign up if you want to be contacted about that training. And then something that is happening every month is the Mental Health Advisory Board, and that board is really getting going, and MHCAN hosts it. Do you know that's going to be there this next time tomorrow?
It'll be Emmeline.
So sometimes it's at MHCAN, and sometimes it's at Emmeline Building K in the conference room there. But that's really interesting. That board is an oversight board. They report to the supervisors, and they're always looking. I think there's a few more spots open, but we also have subcommittees forming for that board, and I'm a member of one of those subcommittees. So that is actually tomorrow from 3 to 5 at Building K. And then we have a special guest here to make an announcement about this exciting opportunity. And Patrice, are you going to come up, or who's the spokesperson for Front Street? So this you might have heard about from our NAMI newsletters, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah,
Patrice.
Yeah.
Countries, and I work with Front Street and supervise the housing support program there. And I know that there have been some people from the communities, from NAMI, asking about services that aren't necessarily available through the county services that exist. If there's a way to provide some assistance to individuals, to families, or individuals to kind of help with life skills, getting out in the community, social skills, whatever it is, just kind of adding some other services. These would be services paid for by the family, independent of Medi-Cal or the county. But we have been looking into this. We are really excited about it. We think it's something that's really needed in the community. So we are piloting that program. At this particular time, we're looking at it as a life skills support services. And basically, it's initiated by the family or individual. So if someone is interested, we do have flyers, by the way, that are on the table that will give you a little more information and some contact numbers to leave, if you want to get more information. But it's for those people living in the community with family or otherwise. They're individualized services working towards the stated goals of, whoever's wanting the services. With the frequency determined, again, by the individual, by the family, for as long or as frequent as someone was. So we do need to know a little bit about who is interested and what are you looking for and what would be helpful. So you can call us, ask us about that, let us know kind of what you might be looking for, where kind of getting, just ready to kind of start providing the services, but it will help us, again, if we know more about what those interests are.
Yeah, I was wondering if your son is an adult and you know that they need, you'd like them to receive life skills support, but they don't see it as that. Mm-hmm. So as a family member, I can call you and kind of get help from you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that there's some tricky things to navigate because obviously whoever that we're working with, we would want on board and them to have their goals as well. But you can call and initiate. We would be working together with the individual as well as kind of along with the family, but working with the individual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
And is it a sliding scale or?
It's not a sliding scale. There will be a set, kind of hourly rate.
Okay.
So it won't be a sliding scale necessarily.
But insurance, you take?
Well, right now there is not, but I know our hope would be. We're hoping that maybe as, Obamacare and parity and all of these things come together, that perhaps it may be, but it's something we have to explore more and look into. So that would be the hope, but we're not there yet.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'd just like to say I have deep appreciation to Front Street for going through all of the contortions to figure out how to create something like this, even before they know whether or not we have any people that will sign up. But what we know about is we know about so many families that know that someone would maybe need, an occupational therapist about how to navigate the bus system, grocery shopping, cooking skills, friendship, just some other kind of a partner in their world and in their life. And they're maybe not ready for going to Community Connection. They're not ready to go to MHCAN yet. Mm-hmm. And they're just maybe living in their bedroom and not engaging. And so I just think this is a great opportunity and calling to ask questions and explore, hey, it probably won't work for my kid because blah, blah, blah. But what do you think, Patrice? I think it's really a great thing to
Exactly. To engage in discussion with us, because we're kind of in that development phase, and it's going to be developed according to the need and what people are looking for. So putting that out there would be helpful to us.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. My son and I came and saw you.
Yes, I do remember.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And at that time, you had not gotten the approval.
Exactly.
So I'm assuming that
now we do. Well, we didn't need it, so you're right. I met with a couple people, and we were kind of just about ready to go, and right before that happened, we heard of an agency that was kind of having to license any work that was being done in the home, and that kind of we had to stop everything, put on hold, check it out. It was a new agency. It just started January 2016. I forget what it is now, but... we had to kind of make contact with them, figure out does what we're trying to do fall under theirs. And I think for them it was more services provided to people in a home versus like along with. So even in how I describe this, it's like it's kind of like a hands-off. We're not doing like cooking or cleaning or bathing. Those are the kinds of things that would be covered under this new regulatory agency. We would be working with the individual, providing again coaching and education and skills training. Okay. And so that's what the difference is, and that's what we found out. It took quite some time, and I was going to get back in touch with you, but we just got that okay maybe about last week or the week before, that we didn't need to worry about that. And so now we're kind of coming back on track, back on board. So should I give you a call?
Sure.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I need to understand what you're saying. Is there going to be is this going to be like in a one special place that this is going to be?
No, it would be likely in the home or community. It would not. It would be in the home or community.
In like my home. Mm-hmm. So the people would come to my home.
Yes.
In the home. So would there be transportation if we needed to go somewhere? You know
what I'm saying? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, that would be part of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you know, we don't have all the details, and I didn't want to get too fully into it and just make an announcement, but whatever, if you want me to answer any questions.
Yeah,
in
July, time you will have more experience, and we're going to invite them back to talk about housing. So,
yeah.
I want clarification. So, if I call and say, I'd like you with social skills, you would do that?
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. So life skills or social skills.
Exactly. It's determined by, the individual for the most part, but the family as well, your goals.
And that's on right now, so I could call you tomorrow.
You could call us tomorrow. Okay. There are flyers on the table, so they'll have that contact information right there.
Okay.
Gonna love this. Are you going to help with people finding housing?
I don't think that anything is out of the realm at this point. I think that it might be something like helping people with developing those skills, kind of walking through those processes. I think that could be on the table. No reason that it couldn't be. We all know it's hard, but yeah.
I'm not sure if my question is the same as yours. If there is a need in our community for men and women who need affordable housing, let's say it's a dual diagnosed person or whatever, there is no one, when you call the County of Santa Cruz Mental Health Department, that can help you. They don't know what a sober living environment is. They don't know if there's any for senior citizens. They don't know if there's, instead of a sober living environment, if there is a place where someone struggling with a mental illness can live. Mm-hmm. They absolutely don't have a follow-the-dot sheet that mm-hmm. lets them help you answer those questions. Mm-hmm. So mine would be that in our community, there needs to be, just like with NA and AA, there needs to be a mental health living environment, not like second-story respite house where you can go for a week now is all, and to calm down a little bit, but a place to live, mm-hmm. and that's affordable, mm-hmm. and is focused around the needs of men and women with mental health issues. Mm-hmm. There's nothing.
Well, there is.
Well there are some
there
things.
Is. And I think in July, that's like yes. our and, topic, right?
Yeah, and Elizabeth, I hope you were serious if that you were going to help
gonna,
us invite and
sorry,
do some
Cheryl,
investigation.
That I
but in July, we're going to dive into that a little bit more. And I'm not exactly sure what that speaker meeting is going to look like right now. But I'm happy to say that Front Street, who actually does that, is going to come and talk about it. And so if anybody else would like to be on our little committee to try to sort out the housing web in Santa Cruz, we all take a little assignments to put on our detective hats, ask a few questions, and then we'll be able to maybe come up with a little bit better understanding we can share with our community.
So I could talk with you, Joyce, and Cheryl about these resources I'm not familiar with?
Right. We'll give you an assignment, people to call.
What's about
there are apartments around town that Encompass manages and owns, and there's another set of different housing situations that Front Street manages.
Yeah.
And so there's how you get that is the mystery part. Because there's not enough to meet the need. But there are, all over town, there's houses or apartment buildings and stuff that are
You contact Encompass and get on a list?
Yep.
A friend of mine just called me today and said that Encompass's wait list is open right now and tomorrow's the last day to apply.
Yeah.
For certain housing.
Yeah, Grace Commons is one of them. Grace Commons right here in the Michigan is one of them. The wait list is open.
It's a beautiful, beautiful company.
Yeah.
What is that you said? Which one?
Grace Commons. It's on Cayuga Street right next to MHCAM. Grace Commons is what it is.
Grace Commons,
yeah. And then
30% of your income, whatever that is.
If you go down to the Encompass office that's off of by Harvey West Park.
195 Harvey West Park.
Thanks, Sarah. 195 Harvey West Boulevard.
They have rental applications there.
Yeah.
And you can contact me as well for Front Street, and I can tell you about that.
About these?
Yeah.
So Encompass's deadline is tomorrow?
That's what my friend told me. So it's hearsay. I haven't actually
looked
at it yet.
I think it is. 16th and
19th. Deadline forever or deadline?
It's a wait list of, like, years.
Yeah. It's a wait list. And
so you're getting your name on the wait list.
Yeah,
right.
There's a three-day period of time where you can get your name onto the wait list, and then it gets so big and huge that after that it stops for a while
until
they go through the wait list. So it was just recently opened up.
What was the wait list?
The wait list for the certain Encompass housing.
Oh,
are they difficult to find as far as their number? Do you have it out here?
We don't have it out there, but
Encompass
you just...
is 4590444.
Yeah. 4590444.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to jump in. Hi, I'm Megan. I'm the director of programs for Front Street, and I've been working with Patrice and Lorraine on this a little bit. I wanted to give just kind of a moment of background, which is that I take a lot of phone calls from family members looking for services, looking for help, looking for answers.
And you'll be talking to Lorraine when you call.
Yes, Lorraine is who you'll be talking
Lorraine
to.
Lorraine and Megan.
And what we hear over and over and over is, if I don't have Medi-Cal, if I'm not in the county system of care, if I'm not in one of these housing programs that, as we're hearing, have these very long wait lists, then there's nothing for me. So these services that we're talking about, these life skills, these, you know, coaching, the social skills, these are services that our organization has been providing for a very long time, but to clients who are living in our programs. And so what we heard was a need for services for people that aren't living in the program at the moment and aren't necessarily receiving Medi-Cal or in the system of care. You know, what is there for people who don't have those resources at the moment? So that's the niche that we're kind of trying to fill here is so that there's something and we don't have to, you know, say to those family members, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do for you at this moment. So we're trying to, while nobody knows, I mean, we know the housing need is devastating in this community right now. And this is kind of a way to help people in whatever their current living situation is get some support.
Thank you. Yeah, why I was excited, I have a young adult son who would like to live on his own. And as he's so young, you know, I'm a little nervous about that idea, but I want to support him. So I was thinking, okay, well, what if we do a games group or some sort of social gathering where people can kind of meet each other and be able to find some find others in the similar lived experience, and then let's just see how it plays out. And if they do find a roommate or somebody that they want to share a house, and the parents might be able to support that, then we can ask Front Street to help support them as they transition to independent living. So that was my personal Megan. Can you help me out? And so they were amazingly fantastic, and you know, she's been getting calls, a lot of calls. So we'll just see if this works. My guess is that there is a need, and that you'll be getting a lot of calls in the next few months. But we'll see. And in July, it'll be interesting to get a report back to see how it's worked out. But we'll be putting their contact information on the website, our website, and I'd imagine on your website too. Yeah, which is it frontst.com? Okay, good. See, I don't know the telephone numbers, but I do know the website. Okay, so with that, I'm really grateful for MH Canada Community Connections and our NAMI peers to come here and talk a little bit about what opportunities are available. So I think we'll just go with everybody is in the newsletter. And first I'd like to introduce, did somebody from Mariposa Center, were you able to find somebody from Mariposa Center to come up?
We did not.
No? Okay. Yeah. But
I will talk about Mariposa Center at length. Yeah.
So let me turn that over to you, and then Larry is going to come in and share a story about his experiences at Community Connection. Yeah. So thanks, Andrea.
Sure. Hi, my name is Andrea Turnbull, and I'm the director at Community Connection. Community Connection is a program of the Volunteer Center of Santa Cruz. And the reason that we're a part of that program is because Community Connection started as a pumpkin patch, as a volunteer pumpkin patch for mental health participants, people who were receiving services from County Mental Health, looking for something to do during the day. We developed this pumpkin patch, and we grew pumpkins, and we sold the pumpkins at Halloween, and we ended up, not only did we end up with this wonderful volunteer program for people, but we also ended up with this incredible Halloween party. And so what Community Connection has been known for over the years has been this amazing Halloween party that we still continue to have today. And we don't have our pumpkin patch anymore, but we do try to grow pumpkins in our little garden in the back. But we do have a lot of different programs that are available at Community Connection. Unfortunately, many of our programs are only open to people who are receiving services from Santa Cruz County Mental Health. And fortunately, we do have some programs that are open to everyone. So I'll kind of talk about all of our programs, and then I'm really going to highlight the ones that are available to everyone. Because I know that over time, my experience has been that the folks who are coming to this meeting in particular aren't receiving services from Santa Cruz County Mental Health. A lot of the people, these family members, aren't. Their families, the people that they're here, the people who are here are not receiving services. Are there people who really want to know?
There's usually both.
There's both. Are there people here who really want to know about the services that are available for people who are receiving services from Santa Cruz County Mental Health?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Great. Then I will focus on everything. That's perfect. So Community Connection focuses on the recovery model. We believe that everybody has a gift, and everybody who walks through our door has strengths and things to give back to the community. And so we really work with people to try to help them realize what their goals are and then help them realize their goals. So let me start by saying I'll talk about our programs by site because I think that might be the easiest way to do it. So we do have one site that's over on Harvey West Boulevard, right at the apex of that Harvey West area. We have a beautiful facility over there with a gorgeous garden in the back surrounded by trees. And
We have a day program there called the Opportunity Connection Program, and it is open to people who are system of care, receiving services from Santa Cruz County Mental Health. The program operates from 8:30 to 1 o'clock, Monday through Thursday, and it has groups and individual counseling every day. We focus a lot on wellness activities, on pre-employment activities, things to help people find meaningful activities that make a difference to them and make a difference to the community. We really do focus a lot on allowing people to run groups if they want to become volunteers in the community, to, in fact, Larry, who's going to speak in a few minutes, there are two people every year for the Volunteer Center, which has over 11,000 volunteers. Two of those volunteers every year are chosen to be Volunteers of the Year, basically. And I just want to say that Larry this year was chosen to be one of those volunteers. Thank you. So we're really blessed to have him here, and I think he'll probably do a better job talking about the program than I will. But in any case, so that program is open Monday through Thursday, like I said. Also in our North County site, we have our Career Services Program. Our Career Services Program is really dedicated to focusing on work. So it's a collaboration with the Department of Rehabilitation and Community Connection and the County of Santa Cruz. And up to now, it has been only open to people who are receiving services, system of care services from Santa Cruz County Mental Health, who are really goal-directed and wanting to find competitive employment, meaning that they're finding employment in the community that isn't sheltered. It's not just for people with mental health issues or not just people who have disabilities, but people who are working. So everybody, you get competitive wages. It's a competitive job. You're competing with other people to get this job. The neat thing about it is that we really help people get accommodations that they may need to work in that position. And we really help people with the entire process of, you know, getting work clothes, interview skills, filling out applications online, resume writing, all of the things that you need to do to get a job. And then looking for the job and then going to the job interview, and we'll drive you to your job interview and help you with transportation costs and all the things that you need to do to get a job. And then we'll work with you for, once you're secure in your position, we'll work with you for 90 days after that. Like I said, the caveat has been that we've only been working with people who are receiving system of care services. It is my mission this year to open that service up to people who are not just those people who are receiving system of care services. So opening it up to the greater community, and I wouldn't say this if I didn't have some agreement from the Department of Rehabilitation and the county. Now I just need to get everybody together, all together at one time, so that we can actually formalize it. But I'm looking forward to, in the new fiscal year, which starts July 1st, having that open. And I will definitely put it in the newsletter, let you guys know when that service is going to be more available, because it really makes sense to our entire community to have that service more available to everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Well, I have always felt that we need to have services open to everybody. And I know that when 98% of your funding comes from the County of Santa Cruz, you become limited in what you can do. Like, you have to work within the scope of your contract. And so I'm really trying to push the boundaries of the contract to open these things up a little bit more. We do have a program at North County that is open to everyone, that's pair blind. It's a free service. It's funded by Mental Health Services Act funding. And it is called the Prevention and Early Intervention Program. And it is for people who are experiencing new and significant symptoms of mental illness. So for folks who have, you know, who have been diagnosed for a long time, it's not the right service. But for those folks who are new and experiencing new symptoms, and it doesn't matter how old you are, but if it's new and significant, so your first break, your first hospitalization, something that's big in your life, this is the right service. And so primarily it serves people between the ages of 18 and 25 who are not receiving services from Santa Cruz County Mental Health. And it is for folks who are looking for meaningful activity. So whether that be going back to school or getting a job or trying to do some volunteer work or really just looking to get out of the house and find something meaningful to do with your day, this is the program. It isn't case management, but it is someone coming to you in your community, in your home, at your coffee shop, where you feel comfortable to meet with you to talk about what you want to do, how you want to grow. And so it is, I would say, but I have a personal bent because it was my baby. I did it for 5 years. It was the program that I got to sort of bring up from inception. But it is such a successful program that that at one point we had 100% of the participants either going to school, working, volunteering, or one or all three. Some people were doing all three. So it is really successful because finding something meaningful to do is the main portion of the recovery model. Like, right? Like, get out of your house, find something to do, find something meaningful that means something to you, and you will feel better. And that's true for all of us. It's not just true for people who have a disability or for anybody. It's true for all of us. I know it's true for me, that my job gives me so much meaning. And so it's really easy to help people to do that. We also have a program through Cabrillo College called College Connection. And College Connection, again, is one of those programs that's sort of system of care. But the neat caveat of College Connection is we teach a class out at Cabrillo called Transition to College. And it's open to anyone who says that they have a mental health diagnosis. They don't check. It's open to anyone, pretty much. So that class is only offered in the fall. It's on Tuesdays from 12:30 to 2:45. Only one meets once a week. And it's for people who are either never been to college, coming back to college, been in college and had some struggles in college and really just need that extra footing. And what the class does is it teaches, the first thing we do in the class is, and I teach that class, is we go around and we do a tour of the campus. And you learn about all the different things that are available to everybody on the campus. And then we start working on what you need to do to be successful in school, whether it's study skills, communication skills, working with your instructor, how to work with financial aid, how to work with the accessibility support service, which is the new, they renamed the Disability Resource Center to accessibility support, which is a nicer name,
yeah.
A good reframe. Yeah.
I just want to say, I took the class, and it was really good.
Right on. so that it is a really great class. Yeah.
Okay, my son has been kind of doing prevention and early intervention
mm-hmm.
within,
mm-hmm.
and it was really successful. He's kind of in a valley.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's okay. I mean, it'll always be there available for him, right? I
mm-hmm.
mean, the service, even if like he didn't ship it, they didn't do it this week, but.
Yeah, I mean, unless they, you know, they close them and reopen them. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I speak to that?
Yeah.
So I actually work in the PI program as well. And typically with clients, we do try to reach out, especially in that transition age. There's a lot of things going on in your life. And we understand that, you know, people have a lot of responsibilities, especially it's like if you're trying to meet with your therapist, meet with your psychiatrist, go to the county, go to school, do, you know. So I understand that it's not always the number one priority, but we always try to reach out and do the best that we can to keep people coming back. So
yeah.
Usually even if it's a couple of weeks, whatever, we do try to make the best effort to keep people
right.
in the program.
Ian's been really good about
awesome.
Coming up to the house
mm-hmm.
with him now because he doesn't really want to leave the house. So.
Awesome, good.
So that's been good, so thanks.
Yes. And that PEI program is a field-based program, so they do go into people's homes, they do go into the community. And the other thing that I neglected to mention about the PEI program is we just started this new TAE group, the Transition Age Youth Group, for 18 to 25. 18 to 25-year-olds, it's on Fridays from 11 to 1 at the Community Connection site. I think you guys are even doing some transportation?
Yes.
Yep. So they are picking people up to bring to group. And tell us what you're doing at group.
Okay, so we try to have it mostly peer-led, so anybody that comes to the group, the first day that we had it, we put some suggestions on a whiteboard of what they wanted to do and what they wanted to get out of the group. Also, if they had any other suggestions, we just did that to kind of get some brainstorming going on. So We went on a hike to Henry Cowell last week. This week we're doing like a DIY group and an art group. Like if you want to do any arts and crafts, if you want to learn how to do things, like I'm going to try to teach people how to water paint. I'm going to be sewing stuff, teaching people how to sew. We're going to be doing like macrame and like braiding and stuff like that. So that's one thing that we're doing. We're going to have barbecues. We're going to just pretty much get people out into the community and have peers that are around the same age group get together and have a space where they can kind of connect. And also, if they don't have the resources, like transportation, to get places, like, we'll bring you out so you can socialize and be in the community. And also, hopefully, learn some independent living skills. We do cooking as well, so anybody that chooses that they want to help with cooking, we'll teach them, like, knife skills and how to use the stove if they don't know how to do that, and just kind of see where everybody's at. So it's been really fun so far.
And we do have a special grant that is allowing us to provide some of the stuff. So it's outside the county program, outside of our contract. We actually got a special grant to run this program so that we can actually fund and have fun things to do and be able to have the arts and crafts supplies and things like that. In addition, it's open to people who are not part of our PEI program. So it's open to any transition age youth in the community who feels that they have a mental health diagnosis. So, yeah. So it's pretty awesome. Yeah.
So just to be clear, is the PEI for not just transition age, but there's a separate transition age subset group?
This is a specific transition age group that runs on Fridays. But yes, it is open to anyone who is experiencing new and significant symptoms of mental illness. And so generally what has happened is primarily it's youth.
Yeah.
But we have worked with people who've developed like severe depression in their 30s, and we've also worked with older adults who have developed some sort of mental illness as they aged. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how new do the symptoms have to be considered?
Well, how new? If they have a diagnosis, if they've been diagnosed and they're taking medication and they've been doing it for a while, it's probably not new. It's a gray area, you're right. And I think that I can't really answer that question, but you're welcome to call. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, what she said, like if your child like for a couple of years has been in and out of, a couple of 50s, mm-hmm. and he's not new, but that was the only way.
For youth, it tends to be a little bit more because after your first break, it's still new for quite a while, and so the new lasts for quite a bit longer in the youth, in the brand new break, right? So that new is 2 or 3 years for the youth, yeah. So for a new break, it's, yeah, I would say, okay, so we re-qualify 2 or 3 years for a new break, yeah. Because it builds or it doesn't. It ebbs and flows, right? It changes a lot, right? Yeah.
So there's no age limit on this career employment at Cabrillo?
For the career services, there is none. No. No.
Right. I'm 71. All of a sudden, everybody's looking at me. Yeah.
And you want a job, Helen?
I like doing things.
All right. Let us help you. Come on down. Let's talk.
I get bored
of that. All right, then. All right, so we do have some programs also in Watsonville. In Watsonville, we have a co-occurring program, so for people who are diagnosed with a mental illness and a substance abuse issue. That program has been a mandated program. So for people who are on probation, people who have somehow come in contact with the legal system, and so they're referred that way, through mental health probation or through their coordinator as they've come up against some run-in with the law. That program, too, my understanding from my brief conversation with our county contract monitor, is that they want to expand that program, too. So I'll have hopefully more news about that coming soon.
CASA Pacific?
So it's a three-part program. We're in collaboration with Encompass and Casa Pacific, which is the residential component, and they don't know how much that's going to shift because they're really limited in how many beds they have, right? So they really have to have priority. They give priority to system of care. And then we have the Avenues program, which is the program that's at Community Connection in South County. And that program is the day treatment program. So people come there from 9 in the morning until 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And then they go back to, they generally go back to Casa Pacific. But we do have people in the program who have left Casa Pacific, who've graduated from Casa Pacific and are still coming to program. And then we also have people who are living independently who don't end up going to residential treatment, but do come to the program during the day. And we're hoping to expand that a little bit so that other people who do have a co-occurring substance abuse and mental illness will be able to come to that program during the day too. But I'll give more news to that as it comes down the pike. And I'm not sure that it's gonna change. The system of care requirement may very well stick with that program because it is Medi-Cal billing is how that program survives. In addition, we have the Mariposa Wellness Center in Watsonville, and that is open to anyone in South County or anyone who's willing to go to South County who is diagnosed with a mental illness. So you need to have a referral from someone. It can be a therapist in the community. It can be a doctor. But you can come there every day, Monday through Friday, from 9 until 3. The program is open, and it is a wellness drop-in center. So there are groups and individual counseling, and that, again, is available. We do have barbecues or some sort of food that is also available to the community on Fridays for lunch, too, every Friday. So it's really the only game in town in Watsonville for folks who have a mental illness. Yeah?
Is that... do you have to be on Santa Cruz County Mental Health?
No, you don't. Oh. Anybody. Right. Anybody can go to the Wellness Center.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You need to have a mental illness, though. You need to have a diagnosis. Mm-hmm. But that can come from anywhere. I mean, as long as you have, you can get a slip from your doctor that says yes.
Is it just kind of a hangout situation? Or do you have to have an appointment to see a therapist, or... Drop in,
so you can come anytime during that window of 9 to 3. We do run groups during the day. You don't have to attend groups. You know, it's certainly encouraged. You know, there's some expectation if you're going to come that you're going to, you know, not cause trouble. But, yeah, I mean, we want people to participate and not just hang out and smoke cigarettes. But some people, that's what they want, a place where they can just feel safe to smoke cigarettes. And so there's a place to do that there. You know, we have an outdoor covered area where it's 20 feet from the building where people can feel safe to smoke cigarettes. Yeah. So, I think I have covered, let me see, we do have volunteer opportunities too because we are part of the volunteer center. We have volunteer opportunities for anybody who wants to volunteer in our programs. So, I do also work with... Community Options, which is the people who end up doing community service who have a mental health diagnosis can do their community service at Community Connection, and so we offer that as well. Let's see what else. I think I've covered everything. Are there any questions? We do have some other programs that I could talk about, but they're so system of care. That you need a referral through the system of care to even access the services. So, but any other questions for me at this time? Awesome.
Okay.
To you, Larry. There are posters and a white sheet that talks about our history and our programs here out on the table too.
Hello, everybody. Got a question for you. Has anyone had a bird make a nest in the front yard or backyard?
Yes.
They're slightly messy, but they seem to use all the stuff that they brought. I have stellar blue jays nesting on my eaves. They're the messiest birds you can think of. They go in there and kick everything out. They'll bring a stick in that they're going to use, destroy half the nest just to get that stick in there. If I come out in the morning and I get a whole patio full of sticks, clean it up. Next morning, a whole patio full of sticks, clean it up. Now I know how my mom felt. All right, the OC I had to get back to that one. Okay, the OC's been really good to me. They've treated me above and beyond what I believe their scope is. Cheat sheet. Okay, the OC coordinator, Dagny over there, has helped me out immensely. I knew her when she was an intern, and we were one-on-one intern. So if I had a problem, that's why I just speak to was Dagny, and she would listen to me and then give me her feedback, which was deeply appreciated, especially when you're in a mental state of caution. Right? And then we have, well, I knew you since you were an intern, then you got a major, well, you're hired now. The coordinator, ladies and gentlemen, she's the coordinator of the OC.
Of the OC, what is the OC?
Opportunity Connection.
Is that the same thing, is that somehow related to Community Connection?
Absolutely.
Okay, all right.
They're all kind of...
It's the day program.
Yeah.
It's the day program. Okay, all right.
And that's what I go to every day, is the day program. There's been a couple times when I went to Community Connections, and I wasn't feeling that well. I was beside myself mentally. And Dagny and them caught that and took me to the puff. Bad thing with me in the puff, if I got a way to get out of it, I'm getting out of it. Yeah, that's the bad thing about it, because when you need it, you need it. That happened twice. Now, that's a person leaving their job to give someone a ride and then come back. I look at that as, that person's removed from their function. You know, so that made me really impressed with them. That happened twice. And I left the puff twice. As soon as I could, I left. And so then they realized that puff's not going to do me any good, so they take me home. And give me, that was safe for me just to go home because I have a nice place to go to. And when I was unwell again, they gave me a ride home. Made sure my truck was in the parking lot or my garage. And I was safe at that point because I was able to go home. They did that for me twice. And I really appreciate that because that takes two people. That's two people out of program. That's a lot in my opinion. And that's really cool for you guys. Thank you. Opportunity Connections. We've got a list here of what they do, but I'm going to buzz a couple of them off. Okay. On Mondays, don't shake. There we go. On Mondays, there's Mind Over Mood, which is a good one. I like that one. I highlighted the ones I like. Then we got Healthy Relationships, which is also good. All these programs are almost an hour long, and it's really neat, all the conversation that goes on. And if you have a question, you got 10 people sitting there throwing answers at you. So that's really neat. I like that. On Tuesday, we have Leadership. Leadership is when everybody gets together and we roll around ideas as to what we're going to do, what outing we're going to take, what we've been doing, different countries, food. That's all neat. Then we have Creative Writing and Poetry. That is one of my favorites because I'm able to dump my brain out on a piece of paper. That's a lot of fun. All right, that's on Tuesday. On Wednesdays, we have Problem Solving, which that's one of the ones I go to because I got problems and they need solving. All right, another one is impulse control. That's another one that I need because I'm off the hip. That's my problem. That's one of the things I'm working on, and that's through school. I mean, through their program. It's awesome. Now I'm shaking again, though. Another one I like is art. And that's on Wednesdays also. Art can range from many different functions, many different
Styles, types, mediums.
There we go. Many different mediums that we use, and they're all really neat. And then on Thursday, we have communication skills and coping with voices. They're all on the same days. I go to the coping with voices because that helps me immensely. And I go to the opportunity. I go to the OC every Monday to Thursday, and then I volunteer my time on Fridays. That's where we get our garden. There's three of us out there that we do a phenomenal job in making our grounds look neat. Mm-hmm. And that's the main thing. I mean, that's my home. I don't want to see it a mess. I don't want to see cigarette butts everywhere. So we have a team that goes through and keeps everything up in order, which I really like. Just like I say, that's my home. and I don't want them home dirty. Well, that's about what I have to say. It was short and sweet, but thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for telling us about your program, for sharing your experience. And now I'm really honored to invite Thomas.
Yeah.
So Thomas is going to come out here and talk about MHCAN, and then Ms. Helen is going to also come up after. Sarah, are you planning on talking to? Perfect. Well, thank you very much for being here. And you have some handouts. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
So Thomas, you are the volunteer and board member.
That's true. Yeah, I'm the volunteer coordinator at MHCAN. I'm also a board member. I'll just go back a little further. I was diagnosed in 1999 with major depression, social phobia, anxiety disorder, panic disorder. And through the years, I picked up a couple more diagnoses. I got agoraphobia, bipolar, and finally PTSD, which kind of explains all of it. Because in my opinion, most people with mental health, a vast majority of us, the mental health comes from trauma. Whether it's trauma we experienced, you know, in our childhood or adulthood, or secondary trauma, trauma that our parents went through, then passed on to us, either genetically or through behavior. When I came to MHCAN 3 years ago, I was addicted to meth, like crazy addicted to meth. I was homeless. I had come to a point where I didn't believe I'd be able to live inside or have a meaningful relationship. Or be able to even go into Starbucks and use their restroom because I was so I looked so different than everyone. I was dirty. I couldn't behave myself. You know, I wasn't doing anything obscene or rude. I looked different than everyone, and I was, you know, I was acting different than everyone. I came to MHCAN, and it was a place when I walked. I don't know if any of you have been there before, but when you walk in, it's not like going into other facilities. It's like walking into a giant living room. There are couches up everywhere. There are people gathering, talking. You can see that there's actual friendship. There's actual connection and care there. As a peer-run place, we're peer from the top down. We own the building. We do our own payroll. Two-thirds of our board of directors is peers. Everyone that works there is a peer. Everyone that comes there has to be a peer. That we have lived it, and we know what other people are going through, or have an idea of what other people are going through, and understand, at the very least, understand. We're with this community. I mean, the groups are wonderful. The nutrition we offer there, we get fresh food deliveries every day that people can either prepare there or take home with them. To the social interactions, our groups. I mean, we've got some tough groups. You know, PTSD, molestation survivors. Schizophrenia, symptom management, but we've got really fun ones. We've got my music therapy class where I play the piano and sing pop tunes and pass out the music to everyone, and we sit around a room for an hour long and just sing song after song and just have a good time and bond and to beading, to knitting, to you know, art. We've got a wonderful artist who comes and does drawing and painting and sculpture with us. You know, to being able to lean on each other when something goes wrong in our life and to carry each other through that, and to come someplace when something great goes on in your life and announce it, you know, in the main room and get a round of applause. And everyone's so excited that you got housing, or so excited that you got a job, or so excited that you got married. It really becomes a family. We are not providers. We are not psychiatrists that you see once every 2 months. For 15 minutes, we are not social workers trying to manage you and chase after you and you know help you just do your laundry. We are there as people, as people who love you and are ready to be loved by you. And the most important thing I think I found there is by of how much compassion I have for people who are like me. And realizing that I have that compassion for them, I have a lot more compassion for myself. And that makes me a whole person. And I can't say enough about it. I mean, it's given me a chance to. So now I am. So I came. I told you how I was when I got there. Now I have housing. I have a job. I have friends. I have people who would miss me if I stopped showing up. I didn't have that for maybe 13 years. And, you know, it is a good feeling to be home, to really be home at MHK. So thank you.
Yes, I'm old. And I'm going to settle because I'm tired of sitting down. My name is Helen Bradley, and the reason I say that is because I've been here in Santa Cruz for 17 years, and I was homeless for a while, and I had a lot of friends to die. And I didn't know them. I knew them, but I didn't know them because it was like, hey, you know, by the way, and I might know a first name or something, so I just say my name. And it makes me feel good to say my name for a change because I used to be an alcoholic. I haven't drank in 20-some-odd years.
Thank you.
But I really want to talk about, and I have 5 children, 16 grandchildren, and now I have, how many grandchildren? But I had another. It's a boy. I finally got a boy because I had 11. I think it was 11. It's so many of them. So I think it's 11. I think I have 12 now. I have 11 great-grandgirls, and now I finally have a boy. And the boy is, I think he's about, he might be 2 weeks old now. I have the mentor, whatever you call it. A little bit of that. But I want to talk about MHK. I've been going to MHK for about 8 years now. And I used to then talk to people. I don't know why. I think it was because of my background. Because I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. And my mother and father and my 4 brothers, they was real private people. You know, they didn't include me. I didn't know, I didn't really think about this until I went to MHK. And it was a lady there named Mel. She's not here anymore. And I could still see her coming over to me. You know, like, how you doing? I was like, I'm okay. And so she's the one that got me to talking and I forget some of the words, communicating with people, you know. And so in doing that, I started going to groups. This group called Anger Management really helped me because I'm 71 years old, but I have been angry for 29 years at 4 people. For 4 people, I was angry at them. And so that class really helped me to empty filter. I filter my body. My body is clean now of all that hurt and aches or whatever you want to call it, you know, the misery. I was really a miserable woman, you know. And even so, even when I was homeless, I didn't communicate with people. I was at the shelter, and I just didn't communicate with those people. And I should have, and going to MHK, it helped me to communicate with them, you know, because I was in a program called Pioneer. And Pioneer really helped me too. That it was Pioneer and MHK. And now here I am now. That's all I can say. But also, I became a diabetic while I was at MHK and during the years that I've been going there. And I can truly say I was spending my cash money on food. So I was like robbing Peter to PayPal, blah, blah. You know how they go. Got to put a little bit here and a little bit there and all that. And so with the food there at MHK, the vegetables and stuff, it helps me. So now I don't have a high grocery bill. I just have a little bit of grocery bill, like $30 a month, you know, for the little accessible things that I need. And so that'll help me. And then that helped me also to buy a blender. I bought a blender.
Yeah, I did. I asked Sarah and Thomas and different people, what is this? Because a lot of things, a lot of food, we don't have it in Nashville. You know, like, what that thing, I haven't gotten used to it yet.
Artichoke?
Heart, it's a...
Artichokes?
Huh? Artichokes. That's it. Oh, I didn't mean to scream, but that's it. Artichokes, I can't get used to that because I can't find the meat. You know, maybe somebody's meat. You know, get on my nerves. But anyway, I like to laugh. And I want to say this before I sit down. I like myself now. And thanks to MH Can. I teach a class on Tuesdays. It's called N-A-A-N-A. And wow, it really helps me too. And then she can, it helps me to be a person to this. And I just love everybody there. Thank you.
My name's Sarah. I'm the executive director at MHCAN. And let's see. When I was really little, they thought that I was autistic. And then when they put me in special ed, and then when I was 7, 8, and 9, I ended up very suicidally depressed. And so I began seeing my first psychiatrist when I was 9 years old. And I joined the Long Beach Mental Health Association at 9 years old. And I became a mental health activist, a child mental health activist. And I was actually in a slideshow with Laura Ingalls, you know, Melissa Gilbert from Little House on the Prairie. If you ever saw the slideshow Depression, I was the little 9-year-old girl in it, and that was the central character, which was a child with depression, and we showed that through Long Beach and LA City Schools, and I would go along, and my dad was a founding member of the Long Beach Mental Health Association, and my fondest memory of doing that slideshow, besides meeting Melissa Gilbert, who was really nice, and she had migraines, was my dad, when I was pretending to wash dishes in the slideshow, he was like, "Look more depressed!" I was already seeing a psychiatrist for being suicidal. I was depressed, but you know how you get numb when you're depressed. So I didn't look depressed, you know. So I was like, "How do I look depressed?" So from there, when I was, I had a life, and then I got diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia with psychotic tendencies when I was 17 years old. I was put against my will into UCLA Neuropsychiatric. And they did a whole bunch of brain scans and tests, and they diagnosed me with paranoid schizophrenia. And I was supposed to go to away for a long time, but instead I didn't. And then I came to MHCAN, which is years later, which was 4 years ago. And but everybody who comes to MHCAN is a peer. From myself, I'm the executive director, so I do payroll and I do HR, and I have to do, you know, look at everybody's time cards and schedule and, you know, call the plumber and stuff like that. And it's a really beautiful job because, like, when I'm here right now, I feel like I'm weird. And when I'm there, I don't feel like I'm weird. I feel like I'm okay. And wherever I've always gone in the world, I've always felt like, whoa, I'm not okay. And when I'm at MHCAN, I really do feel like I'm at home. I really feel like I'm with my family. And we have service animals. So we have, you know, there's dogs there. You know, and we have there was a service kitten for a while that was coming every day. And it's really nice. We're actually all ages. Some people don't know that. So we have children. And we have children with autism, children with depression, children with PTSD. And I can answer any questions that you have. We have a whole bunch of classes. We have 4 food pantries a week. We have haircuts on the 1st and the 3rd Friday of every month. We have donations. Patrice has donated to us, and clothes. And, yeah.
Oh, I was just, so what are your hours?
Our hours are Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we are not just county services because we do independent fundraising. And because of that, a proportion of the people we serve can be not county. So what we do is we serve 40 people a day who are county and 10 people a day who are not county. And it's first come, first serve. If you come in, actually, the non-county 10 spots are gone within 10 minutes of opening every single day. We are full for that. And for the other 40, sometimes it'll come here and there, and it's different times every day. But we're very welcoming, and you have to have a mental health history. We have a full range of people that are like building K and like really really medical model. And then MHCAM was actually started 35 years ago by a group of UCSC students that were psychiatric survivors and were like really anti-psychiatry. So we went from being like this radical group to being county. So we're all of it now. We're like county and radicals, and you know, it's a hodgepodge, and it's very accepting because of that. We have people who are very much, you have to take your meds always, and we have people who are like, I'm going off my meds, and then we have other people who are like, well, if you're gonna go after meds, you should like read a book and talk to your psychiatrist, you know. And so we have a full range.
Any other questions?
Do you have a schedule of your classes?
Yeah, we have www.mhcan.org.
Okay.
And the other good thing is about just being a peer run is that we get to see each other live our lives. And like, actually, that's my younger daughter in the back on the phone. In our community, a lot of us who are diagnosed, I've been diagnosed with 3 SMI. You know, bipolar, schizophrenia, and major depression. And it's rare to see a woman that gets to raise her own children. And we're really concentrated on MHCAN as supporting families, supporting mothers with children, supporting people on getting to see their children, to keep their children. We really want the next generation and the next generation to be healing, you know, healing.
Thank you for all that information and the wonderful stories. And you have a great newsletter, so that has the calendar, and it changes.
Yeah.
So how do they get? How do people get on?
It's posted on the website each month. www.mhcan.org.
But you also send it out to people. Is there a list?
No, we don't. You mean the email list?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we have an email list. If you write me, then I can add you to it. It's sarahevanisadora@gmail.com. Or you can just come up to me and I can give you my email.
Yeah, I think it's also on the website.
Oh, and it's on the website.
Yeah, so thank you. This is great. So we have, last but not least, is the NAMI peer programming, and that is Hugh and Will and Amante are going to talk about that. So do you want to start?
Sure.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hi, everybody.
Thank you.
Super stoked to be here today with Amante and Will. We're doing really good work in Santa Cruz County. I got involved with NAMI about 9 years ago, right with Carol Williamson. We kind of entered into the NAMI family together, and it's been quite a ride. You know, right now I'm part of the NAMI board, and I teach peer-to-peer, and I coordinate in our own voice, and I've been running the support group Connections for about 4 years. So I'm doing a lot, you know. We're doing a lot. We really are doing a lot. We're growing by leaps and bounds. The Interim Voice Program is just amazing. That's what I'm going to talk about right now. I was in the mental health system, conserved with schizophrenia for about 4 years. The number one thing that I loved to do was go to groups. Like, no. Groups were the worst. I went to Eldorado Center, 7th Avenue Center, Paloma House, Darwin House, you know, pretty much every facility in Santa Cruz that was in there. And the number one thing that they like to do is put us in groups. I hated those groups, you know. After I got deconserved or unconserved, I decided that I was never going to go to another group, ever. The groups that I went to, the one thing that they lacked was hope. They lacked hope, they lacked love, they lacked understanding, and we weren't supposed to be able to recover, you know? So when I got unconserved, I decided that I wanted to go to a group because of the pizza. So I went to a peer-to-peer group and ate my pizza. Didn't really expect much. It was my first group that I chose to go to. And that really changed my life. After that, I was on a mission. I met other people with schizophrenia, with bipolar disorder, with schizoaffective disorder that were working towards recovery. And it was the one thing that I learned that actually could happen was recovery. And so after that, Carol kind of took me aside and was like, do you want to teach peer-to-peer? And I was like, I don't know, maybe, you know? She gave me hope. She gave me a community that I could get involved with. I met friends for the first time. I was 280 pounds. I was drooling most of the time. I was over-medicated. And she told me to go to a training, and I was there half asleep the whole time. I walked around with my pillow and stuff. But peer-to-peer really changed my life. It gave me purpose. And about 4 years ago, Carol and I got together, and we decided, hey, why don't we try this thing called Interim Voice? And it was the first time that Santa Cruz NAMI had put together a team of peers, you know, with schizophrenia, with bipolar disorder, to do a group NAMI style. So that's what peer-to-peer is. It's kind of NAMI's version of the group. So we go to El Dorado Center, we go to the Behavioral Health Center, we talk to police officers, we go to UCSC, we go to Cabrillo, we go to the Lions Club, pretty much anybody that wants to have us, we're there. Interim Voice is a one-hour program, 15 minutes of video. It's a team of two who goes into facilities or to organizations, and we tell our story, we bust stigma, and we give a message of hope. That's the number one thing. Like, people can recover. I go to El Dorado Center once every other week, and I look at these people, and I'm sitting, you know, 10 years ago, I'm sitting in the very same couch as these people. And I remember how hopeless the groups at El Dorado Center were, and how hopeful our message is as peers. Our team has grown in the last 4 years to be 15 people. I coordinate the groups, and we're going to do something like 85 interim voice presentations around the county this year. We do about two a week, and we're talking to whoever wants us there, but we're also going into lock settings like the Behavioral Health Center once every single week. It's a job, you know, we're getting paid $30 every presentation that we do. We're creating a sense of community among presenters, and we're also giving messages of hope to the people in the lock settings and unlocked settings like the Behavioral Health Center and El Dorado Center. We talk about our dark days. Like, I talk about, you know, being incarcerated. I talk about being hospitalized 13 times and being over-medicated. And we talk about how we accepted having a mental illness. I didn't accept having a mental illness pretty much until I took that peer-to-peer class. Because it was so hopeless, you know? I didn't accept the diagnosis that I was given. I didn't want to take the medications that I was basically force-fed. And we all come to accept having a mental illness differently. Some people accept it right away. Some people, it takes 4, 5, or 20 years, you know? We talk about treatment that we've gotten. I remember, you know, I talk about how most of my doctor's visits are 10 minutes, or psychiatrist visits are 10 minutes long. Are you taking your medications? Are you feeling suicidal? Are you hearing voices? No. Yes. I hear a voice. I've been hearing the same voice in my head for 15 years now, and I've been on pretty much every psychiatric medication that exists. And, you know, I can tell my story, and some people are going through the same things that I've, you know, went through. We talk about how we cope with taking medications and just, you know, symptoms in general. And we also talk about our successes, hopes, and dreams. And that's one of the things I most like to talk about, you know. I've got all the things that are technically successful. You know, I've got a car, I've got an apartment, I've got friends. You know, I've got, you know, a supportive family, finally. But the number one thing that I talk about is how I found love. I hated myself for the first, you know, 27 years of my life, you know, and just in this last maybe 5 years or so, I've kind of grown to love this weird looking dude that, you know, is standing right in front of you. Yeah, and I can, and that's all because of NAMI, and that's the message that I take, a message of hope, a message of healing, a message of recovery, and I can, you know, talk to people about, you know, my story, and it's just a really good way to give people a message of hope, and also the people on our team, the 15 of us right now, we love telling our stories, we love getting together, you know, we love doing NAMI activities, and yeah, we just love ourselves. And so, yeah, we're going to do about 85 presentations this year. We're going strong. So, yeah.
How do you get involved with?
Most people who want to get on the team take the peer-to-peer class, which starts on June 21st of this year. And then there's two or three trainings every year. It's an intensive kind of two-night, three-day training, and then NAMI fits the bill, and you get trained how to tell your story and how to become an interim voice presenter. And you made me nervous, Larry, because you were nervous. You're like,
and I was shaking in my boots.
You had to go first. But yeah.
Is your contact info on the NAMI website?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
What age group?
On the team, basically 18 to 180, you know? Yeah.
You have to be 18.
Definitely.
And we have other presentations that we train for too, like I mentioned, Ending the Silence, Parents and Teachers Allies, and then they have one that we just got an overview for. It's called Mental Health 101, which is a very confusing name because there's a lot of Mental Health 101 programs out there. This one is a presentation, kind of a general presentation. So family members, peers, a lot of these in our voice is just peers, but the other presentations, it's usually a combination. So in order to qualify for that, you just need to come and talk to us and see if it's a good fit. And then there's a training. It's not as intensive as in our own voice, and then we'll send you out in the community.
This is kind of new. I mean, this is like the last 5 years or whatever, you know, since Shale came on, that ETS really got big, and then Interim Voice is getting really big, and our connections group is meeting every week. And yeah. It used to just be, you know, a couple of peer-to-peer classes every week, you know, about a decade ago, and it's just NAMI Santa Cruz is just really healthy and going strong, and, you know, we're doing meetup groups and trying to create a sense of community. And I've met so many great friends, you know. I play music with people. I do board games with people. We're going to go, hopefully, do whale watching in June, you know. And then, you know, just, I don't know, just coming together, you know. And I never really thought that I'd have a job. But, you know, I've got the interim voice gig. And I've got something that I love doing. And, you know, I'm with people who understand. And I'm just happy with doing what I do. So, thanks.
So this is our interim voice flyer. We have those out there if you're interested.
I do have one question about peer-to-peer. I've been teaching it, but I don't know. Is it only open to adults?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
18 and over.
That's what I thought. Okay. Yeah, so hi, my name is Will Llewellyn, and I started with NAMI a few years ago. I was diagnosed in like 2009, bipolar disorder, and I joined a NAMI support group that basically covered bipolar and depression. And I also have anxiety disorder as well. So bipolar disorder and anxiety disorder, and the support group really helped me to kind of, you know, get out of the house, get out of my head about, you know, how alone that I felt and how depressed I felt. And it really kind of helped me build a sense of community with people that, you know, that could understand what I was going through and felt some of the same things. And it really, really helped me to talk about these kinds of things. And so, from doing that, somebody from the peer-to-peer class, Lauren Crabb, actually came and talked to our group about peer-to-peer. And I said, I want to do that, you know. So peer-to-peer is, so I'll tell you a little bit about peer-to-peer. So I went to peer-to-peer, and then during peer-to-peer, you know, I think it was Lauren or somebody, probably Lauren, suggested that I sign up for the training for that. And I was like, yeah, I would like to do that. So now I'm we don't call ourselves teachers or leaders of the group. We call ourselves co-mentors of the group because we are actually peers. And we're there to both learn from other people and also to impart knowledge that NAMI has given us. Mostly,
But it's like a lot of the stuff we give out in terms of what we read in class and the written materials are written by NAMI, and you know they're basically based on the latest research in mental illnesses and brain disorders and all these different kinds of diagnoses. So we basically it's a lot of it's an experiential class where we do a lot of group discussions and all of that, but we also read some information for people and give people a binder to take home of a lot of information that they can discuss, but we also have a lot of group discussions in the class. And we go over all sorts of things. We talk about the different kinds of mental illnesses. We talk about the different kinds of medications that people take. And we talk about coping skills. I think that's one of the most important things. Like, how do you cope with having these kinds of symptoms or these kinds of behavior, these kinds of experiences in life? How do you cope with these things? How do you cope better with your family members? How do you cope better with other things in your life? And we talk about that. And we also develop something which a lot of people use called the relapse prevention grid, where they actually go through and they create this. It's like a chart where they basically go through the steps of thinking about, okay, what triggers a relapse for me? Like, we go through it step by step, week by week. What triggers a relapse for me in various areas? And how can I avoid that the next time I'm starting to go down a dark path? So that I don't end up back in a really bad situation in my life. So it's a really hopeful group. And, we really try to impart the idea that, as Hugh was saying, that there's a lot of hope out there, that people can live really good lives even with a mental illness and all the challenges that go along with that. So that's pretty much everything I wanted to say about it. So yeah. Do you have any questions? Oh yeah.
Okay, so the peer-to-peer groups, are they coordinated by like young adults, older, or
well, it's basically just all adults right now. Yeah, that's what the peer-to-peer is.
So 18 to...
18 to, like, we,
So in a particular peer-to-peer group class, it could be an 18-year-old
with a
40-year-old.
Well, that's what you were saying, 180-year-old. I mean, we have all ages in the same class. Okay. Yeah. But they're all adults. And it's a 10-week class. It's not like a support group that goes on and on and on. It's a 10-week class. And it's free, like all the other NAMI services. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
This question is more for Cheryl or Carol. Are there any teen support groups?
No.
Ah, okay.
I do know other NAMIs do have that, and I think MHCAN, you said that you also, Sarah, you have some.
Yeah, we have a county one that's run by the county, and then we actually have one that's run by a peer. She's, that's
my
actually your granddaughter, Helen's granddaughter, and she's starting it up again in June. Yeah.
So the one on Wednesday, they have one at MHCAN every Wednesday, right, Sarah?
Yeah, that's the county one. But other people are welcome. You don't just have to be county to go.
You don't have to be county to go. And it's a quiet time there, right?
It's
are you talking about
18 to 25?
Yeah, but the other teen group is all ages.
The other teen group is when?
Is all ages.
And
that one, it'll be on the schedule in June, which comes out very soon. It'll be out by the 20th. So it'll be out by 2 days.
So the peer-to-peer schedule is on there, too, on your website?
No.
That's a NAMI's website. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And the peer-to-peer is on our website.
Yeah.
And you can sign up for that.
Lately, you've been teaching peer-to-peer for 10 weeks on Tuesday nights.
Yes.
We've been teaching on Tuesday nights.
And
yeah.
Tuesday nights again.
Yeah, we're going to do Tuesday nights again,
where?
Starting June 21st. It's over at the Sash Mill. I don't have the exact address.
Off of Portrero.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was what?
Yeah. Here in Santa Cruz, yeah.
We're getting a little bit
across. Yeah, it's on the other side of the road. Yeah, of, what's that?
It's actually there.
River Street, I guess. River Street, Potrero. Yeah, the Sashmill is like this office complex in there now. Yeah.
Okay, we're running a little bit later.
Yeah, that's why I made mine really like as deep as possible.
I wanted to talk. Do you want to come up and talk about peer connection? So we have our presentations in our own voice, our class, peer-to-peer, and Amandi's going to talk about peer connections, which is a support group that meets at MHCAN on Wednesdays.
All right. Apologies if this seems a little jumbled. Like most things in my life, I'm making it up as I go along. My name is Amante Libre. I'm 34 years of age. I won't tell you my whole life story because I've been dealing with symptoms for about 25 years now. So in the interest of time and boredom, I'll get to the relevant bits. But yeah, 34 years of age, born and raised around Santa Cruz. And I've been involved with NAMI and MHCAN, because they are in some ways interdependent, for about 8 years now. And yeah, about 8 years ago, just to give you a bit of a picture of where things were, I moved out on my own about 22 years of age, wasn't quite ready for it. So, but I, you know, I got a Section 8 housing voucher. I was very lucky to get on that list when it was actually moving forward. So my 20s were probably my roughest period, and would have been about 26 that I started going to the NAMI Connection Group. So I had just gone through a really bad breakup in a long-distance relationship, because at that time I didn't really feel like I was really capable of anything else. You'll probably notice a recurring theme with a lot of people in this community that they get told a lot of things about not being worthy or capable or desire, you know, not worthy of love, and we get a lot of messages like that. So for a lot of us, it's a pretty big deal to finally overcome that and get in a real relationship. So that plunged me into a pretty deep period of depression, like the real beginning of adult depression for me, I think. For the record, my primary diagnosis is obsessive compulsive disorder, but I have, you know, cyclothymia and mood disorder stuff going on, some PTSD, but that stuff's more minor. And so I was in this very deep period of depression. I wasn't getting a lot done, and it was clear that I needed to do something to get out of the house and kind of break the stalemate. So very, very grudgingly, and thanks to my mom, who has helped a lot with helping me find things to go to and, you know, advocating for me, or I probably just never would have done this, she made me aware of a group called the NAMI Connection Group that took place at MHCAN. That still takes place at the same time every week on Wednesday. And so I went, I very grudgingly went, and wasn't feeling great. And the first week I went, it's always co-presented by two people, like most of the NAMI programs, so that people can back each other up and no one feels like they're all in the spotlight by themselves, or if you're having an off day, the other person can kind of take point. So I go there, and the first time I do the group, the first two people who are facilitating it are Hugh, who you've already heard from, and a person some of you may know by the name of Adrian Bernard, who's a shining leading light in the mental health community around here. So I couldn't have honestly asked for a better introduction to the local mental health community than those two guys being the people facilitating the group. And, you know, I'm not going to tell you it was some overnight success thing or anything like it is for some people, because it's never been that way for me. So. But I found a sense of place there. People were very welcoming and inviting. It's a very open, non-judgmental group. It is a support group. It takes place every week. It's not like, you know, some of these temporary programs people are talking about. Because, you know, there's a lot of week-to-week ongoing needs that people have in terms of emotional coping and needing support and all that stuff. And so it really helps for people to have a place that they can go to, whether it's week after week or just when they need it, that they can go there. And so, and I gotta say, as much as I, you know, hate cliches, they often end up being true. That group really did, in a lot of ways, end up saving my life, or greatly improving it at least. And I've been thinking about it a lot lately, as, you know, birthday and other stuff comes along, and you take an inventory of your life, and I've I realized that a lot of things in my life that I have now that I really appreciate sprang out of just that decision to go to that group 8 years ago. Because, you know, continuing to go to that group every couple of weeks, sometimes like once a month, sometimes every 2 months, sometimes every week, it just kind of varied. I continued to go to that group, and that led to me, you know, getting offered to do the In Our Own Voice training that they already talked about, to present that in May of 2013. And then doing that led to the aforementioned Adrian Bernard offering me to speak on behalf of NAMI at UCSC, which we still do and are about to do again, actually, which I feel very privileged to do. And then out of that led to a job opportunity at a local place called Second Story that does great work. And that was a very mostly empowering year, the year 2014, that I worked there. And that led to me meeting someone on the job who was very important to me and ended up being pretty much the most, you know, profound, meaningful, intimate, and platonic relationship I've ever been in. And all that never would have happened at all had I not gone to that group the first year. I wouldn't have the friends I have, I wouldn't have the support network and the groups I have, you know, people like you and Will and other people who are here and aren't here, other groups and a lot of the people here. So I really do owe that group and MH Can and Carol Williamson, the volunteer president, a lot, because there's a lot of people doing really good work. And then just to tell you more about what the actual group is, or the format of the group, NAMI Connection, it is open to anyone over the age of 18, I believe is the normal restriction. And it's just a walk-in, you know, 1 o'clock to 2:30 every Wednesday at MH Can group. And you're just, you can be in pretty much any, people can be in kind of any state. They could be having a good week or having a bit of rough week and needing a bit of support. We've had people come in states of full-on crisis where they're like practically having a psychotic break, and that doesn't happen so much anymore, but we've had that happen, and we've supported people through situations like that. So it really is like a no judgment, just come if you need support group. And we've seen great things come out of that group. A lot of people in that group have become friends and social networks and, you know, game groups and get-togethers have formed out of that group. So I think it's made a difference in a lot of people's lives. But rather than continue to talk, I'd like to open the floor to questions if anyone has any.
I have a question in general. What would you recommend for somebody who, or what can a parent do for somebody who is not open to being a part of any groups, or, you know, there's so many fantastic services, and if somebody doesn't want them, then it's kind of hard to persuade them. Maybe it's just a matter of waiting it through.
I think it's just a matter of being patient. Unfortunately, it's not the sort of thing you can really force. But I find that you want to help the loved people you care about. One service that no one is, there is a similar group that for family members, similar to what I'm saying, which is just for family members of those of the mentally ill, for them to, you know, meet up and support each other and share those kind of frustrations where, like, I really want to help him, but he's just not ready yet, you know, without it infringing upon your relationship with your loved one. So I've seen that that's done a lot of good for family members that need support. But yeah, you just got to get them through the front door. But I've seen a lot of people through the group that I mentioned, through the peer-to-peer, like this group, the NAMI Connection, the peer-to-peer seem to be the things that really make a difference in people's lives, in terms of just showing them that recovery is possible, that things can be different, that the narratives that they have heard aren't, you know, it's not all doom and gloom and you're going to be doped up and taking 20 medications for the rest of your life. Like, things can get better and you can have a real life. So I think, I think the peer-to-peer and the NAMI Connection groups are both great for different reasons. The peer-to-peer is, as he mentioned, is a more structured 10-week class that meets over and over. And this, the NAMI Connection is just, it's every week when you need support, when you need somebody to go and you need support. Any other questions?
You mentioned about a group where the family members can go.
Yes.
What's the name of that?
I believe it's, I know there's a family-to-family program like the peer-to-peer that's the same but for families, and then there's a family support group that I don't know the name of. Cheryl could probably tell you more details.
Thursday night support group.
Thursday?
There's also a group for
So that's what we do. Definitely talk to Cheryl and Carol here because they can hook you up with whatever information or access you need. Any other questions? Looks like that about covers it.
Thanks so much.
Good job.
thank you for coming. In 2 months, we'll have another meeting on housing. But I wanted to tell you, out of the peer-to-peer class, these just gatherings, just hangouts. It's for peers and family members. It's just anybody who wants to come and share community. The games group, this is a meetup group.
A meetup group?
Yeah, meetup group. So it's something that we just did a proof of concept just to see if, and I didn't even advertise it. Now we have like 60 people on our meetup group. So I'm not sure how that happened. But usually when we get together for bowling or to Carrie is a dog trainer, so she'll provide you a dog and we'll go for walks and learn how to do dog training. We go to music venues. You mentioned there's going to be a whale watching. And then we also started a board game, and I bring puzzles and pencils to draw. We just meet twice a month, and right after the TAE group, actually, and Community Connections TAE group, at Community Connections. So here's the information on that. Very casual. There's no processing or anything. It's just getting together.
And I found out that I don't have to play a board game. I can just come and work on a jigsaw puzzle.
Yes.
Or socialize.
Yes. And Alex is coming to do the jigsaw puzzle. Man, he is an amazing jigsaw puzzle person. He just was that's very impressive. So you can just come and watch and put together a puzzle, and it'd be worth it just for that.
Is it this Friday?
It's this Friday. So it's the first and third Friday, 1:30 to 4:30. We moved it up a half an hour.
I think it's awesome that you're trying that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job, Cheryl.
And all of the people here do such good work. So thank you for coming. We really, really appreciate it.
So when does the whale watch?
No, that's the first I heard of it. But usually Chris does that.
Yeah. So we moved it up half an hour. All right.
Yeah, just because the TAE group meets and then they just have to wait for an hour.
I see.
We just moved up half an hour so they can wait for half an hour.
Yeah. Parker here was expressing some interesting
comments.
Thank you.
That's okay, because we have